Hello, hello.
We're going to force you guys to listen to me. You're not getting away that easy. Church is not getting out early today, people. my name is Josh, like Pastor Matthew said, and if you're confused, I am not Pastor Paul. He heard we were going to be here today, and he skipped town. I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean, but you get me today, and I am excited to be here with you guys. We have a great day planned for this afternoon, an outreach, and we call them festivals. It's really an outreach or crusade or whatever you want to call it, but that's what it is, and it's focusing on the gospel. Some of my whole family, some of our team is here with us. Most of our team is out working in the park right now, tirelessly working for the third day in a row to put this thing together. And we know that on the other side of this mountain, from so much work that has gone on to this with Collision Ministry and Dave and so much work from the pastors of the community all coming together, we know that on the other side of this mountain, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. We're going to see changed lives happen, and we are very, very excited about that. But my wife is here, Rochelle. You saw her up here leading worship a few minutes ago, and isn't she amazing? Isn't she beautiful? She has some of her team and some of her band with her. Corey Holm has been with her, drumming with her for I don't know ever a long time. And we're Derek. We're excited. I don't know where he went. He's the one. Oh, he's in the back. He doesn't get to miss out on church either. but we're all here. We're excited to be here. We have Abby Robertson here. She's going to perform later at the festival, so you guys aren't going to want to miss out on that. And we have my three beautiful little daughters here. Kira is our oldest one. She's going to be president next year, so you guys can vote for her. She's going to be a future president, and she's really the one in charge. She's running the ministry. She's making all the decisions, and we're all following her. Taylee is our middle child. She's back there hiding in a pew somewhere. She's a typical middle child, very quiet, very shy. I asked Taylee one time, I said, Taylee, what do you want to be when you grow up? And at the time, she was 3 years old. And I asked her that before I was getting ready to leave on a trip. And I didn't think she would actually have an answer for me. I was like, Taylee, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what three-year-old thinks about that? And she was swaying back and forth. And she was actually thinking about an answer. And I thought, this is going to be amazing. And she's swaying back and forth. And she looks up at me and she goes, I want to be four. I love the simplicity of that answer, and so, I mean, we're all relatively young here in this place today, and so we should be asking ourselves, what do we want to be known for? What do we want to be when we grow up? What legacy do we want to leave behind? And we're going to talk about that a little bit later also. I have a third daughter, three daughters. My house is very loud, full of drama. I probably have glitter on me somewhere and hair, and I don't know what else there would be. But my little daughter, Alea, she is the one that will, at the risk of being in trouble, if she thinks someone's going to laugh, she's going to do it anyway. And you can't punish her, because we'll tell her, like, well, if you do that, as Rochelle did a few weeks ago, Rochelle goes, if you do that, Alea, I'm going to take away your toy. And she's like, but I can still play dress up. And she goes, well, if you do that, we're going to send you to your room. But I can still play with my toys in my room. Like, so you can't punish her. And I love my girls. Our house is full of drama, and I love it, and it's exciting. But my in-laws actually are here also, and my sister-in-law, BJ, and she's going to be painting tonight. She's an artist, a very artistic artist, as if there is any other kind. She's an artist. She's a painter. She's coming up with all kinds of jokes right now that she's going to tell me later about how terrible I am as a speaker and all that kind of stuff, and I appreciate that out of her. She's awesome, and you want to come see her paint tonight. But my in-laws are also here. They're started LifeLight, so this is really all their fault. Back in 1998, they started LifeLight. They had a vision from God to start LifeLight, a calling to start this ministry. And so I'm going to invite my father-in-law up here now, and he's going to share with you guys a little bit. And he has, I don't know, there's no chains on him, so he can say whatever he wants. And so I cannot pre-approve the message that he's about to share, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Okay, so now we got the old guy up here. So, and you notice he walked down. Usually what we do at a festival, if you don't want him to take much time, you, you hold the mic. You're like, Josh holds onto the mic and says, okay, say a few words. But good morning, Berean Bible Church, right? Good morning, church. Come on, good morning. And I'm going to put my Bible over here. That's not a good sign either that I bring notes in a Bible. He asked me this morning as I came in here just a little bit ago. He said, hey, could you come up and say a few words because I'm losing my voice. And it's not from yelling at my grandchildren. I know that. It's from proclaiming the gospel all day yesterday in Aurora, Nebraska. Praise God. Many people gave their lives to Christ. The Spirit was moving in that crowd. And we're believing for that today here in Hastings. So, you know, I believe this. When God sees the church, he sees one church, many congregations. Today, we're gathered in here as the church. You know, and I can do what pastors do. I can say, well, you know, the Greek word for church, because it is the Greek word for church, is ekklesia, which means two things. It means those that are called out, those that have responded to God's invitation, have surrendered their lives to Jesus. That's the church. We are the church. But it means the second thing, it means those that gather together. So today, in America, people all over the United States are gathering as the church. People all over the world, people in Pakistan, people in China, people in Ethiopia, people in Haiti, people in Cuba, people all over the world are gathering as the church. We're going to gather in a field this afternoon. We want you all to come, but we want you to bring people with you. Josh showed the video. You know, it's really simple. And by the way, it's kind of dangerous to have, I mean, two evangelists come up and speak. I know people right now are going, oh, no, what's going to happen? Because my wife always says, just speak from your heart. Speak without notes. And then my daughters are like, better use some notes so you know when to wrap it up, you know. So we're going to get back to Josh and get the message here in a second. But my message is just simply to encourage you. You know, this whole LifeLight thing, it's not really about LifeLight and it's not anything new, but 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, God grabbed a hold of my wife and mine's heart and a ministry was launched. Launched off of the scripture, John 8:12, which simply says this. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whomever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then we launched the ministry based on Acts 1:8. And all of us who have been in church for any time, we should know these scriptures. Acts 1:8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the entire world, to the uttermost parts of the earth. LifeLight then launched this festival after a missions trip. God spoke to us about taking the church outside the walls. We came back, we launched a little festival in a lawn in a residential section of town. Later it grew and it became the largest Christian music festival, I guess, in the nation over those 20 years because we did three things. We said, Lord, we want to reach the unchurched, taking the church outside the walls, bringing the body together to reach the lost. We want to reach the lost. Therefore, we want this festival to be free of admission. Thank you, by the way, Hastings, and for this church, thank you to Dave and Marcia Zach and the Collision team and all of you who have partnered in so that this festival will be free of admission so that all can come and hear the good news of Jesus. So we wanted it to be free. We wanted it to be cross denominations, cross generations. You see, if we're going to reach this culture, we got to reach all generations. Josh is about reaching the next generation. And, you know, he's actually president of LifeLight. Vicky and I guess, are just founders. That's where they put old people's pictures on the thing in historical documents. And but we don't want to be called any titles other than followers of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you that a move has started today in Texas Stadium. Greg Laurie is preaching Harvest America. And today we're preaching the gospel, the truth of the Bible here in Hastings. And all over there are outreach events going. And we are believing that there is a movement that's starting. After 20 years of this mega festival in who comes to Sioux Falls, South Dakota? I mean, it had to be a move of God. It's not a tourist stop. But 100,000 people per day were showing up. And 2 years ago, God said to my wife and I, it's time to go. It's time to break up the party. It's been an incredible move of God. But we don't want it to be about entertaining Christians with the latest name bands. We want to go and reach the culture. And there's all kinds of stories. This afternoon, I believe there's going to be people in that crowd who maybe they're going to watch the motorcycles and the crazy bicycle stunt guys, and they're going to be maybe drawn there for that. And they're going to hear some of the things from stage, and then they're going to hear some of the music. And by the way, even in the middle of worship music, We've heard these stories. We've heard stories like, I was just standing in this crowd, and I don't know what happened. What's happening to me? It's just, I mean, all of a sudden I almost started weeping, but, you know, at first I felt like I got to leave, and then I felt like I need to stay. Well, we know what that is. The Holy Spirit was drawing them, and he was using the music just as one tool to prepare them to hear the gospel. So we're believing for that today. I watched it the last two nights of festivals. We had a Friday evening festival, small town in South Dakota. We had a Saturday festival in the middle of Aurora, Nebraska, right in the center of town. And you could just see people were coming. They didn't know who these bands were. They were just coming. And when they come, we don't want to miss the opportunity to proclaim the truth of God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. And then God will be glorified and people will respond. So, again, thank you. Thank you for having us. My beautiful bride, Vicki, if you would just stand up. We have been married. Next Tuesday, it'll be 42 years. Yes, 42 years. Glory to God. And so, whenever I come in Nebraska, though, I usually wear a red shirt because we cross the border into big red country. But I came from North Carolina, grew up in North Carolina, met this Norwegian Lutheran at the time in Sioux Falls. God grabbed a hold of both our hearts. She looked at me and I said, how y'all doing? I'm from North Carolina. And she said, maybe I could work with that. I can fix him if I can teach him to talk. And but God uses ordinary people just like you and I, and he does extraordinary things. So we're traveling as a family right now, and plus with a big white dog that's 7 months old and 80 pounds, and I probably got drool all over me. So it's quite a scene as we travel down the road, but we are so happy to be here in Hastings, and we want you to go home, invite people, and come out to the festival today and watch what God does. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Well, Matthew said, we can speak as long as we want. He said, but the people will leave at noon. So we have a little bit of time, and we're excited. But there's a concern that I have, this plaguing the church. And it's this thing that I've called the casual Christian. And it's this thing that I believe that there are many people who will say that they're a Christian when it's popular or when it's convenient or when it's the thing to do or when it seems like everyone else around them is saying the same thing. I call them casual Christians. And I say that there's coming a time soon where there will be no more casual Christians, and I'm longing for that day. It's happened on the coast of America, and it's coming a time soon where it's going to happen here in the Midwest also. Where when you say you follow Jesus, you better follow Jesus, because there's going to be a battle that's going to happen. On the coast, even in a place like Portland, Oregon, where we were recently, when you say at a coffee shop that I follow Jesus, they're going to ask you why. Why would you do a thing like that? Why would you follow Jesus? And they're going to ridicule you. That happens on the coast, and it's coming here to the Midwest. But I believe that when it comes here, the day of the casual Christian will be no more, because those people that are in the church that say they follow Jesus, they're going to actually be followers of Jesus, because it's going to cost us something to be there. And I'm longing for that day. And I want to read you in this scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. My pastor calls this the Hall of Faith, which I thought was kind of cool. But I love this passage in scripture. I love this whole chapter in chapter 11. It goes over all of these heroes of the faith and what they did through faith. You know, it starts with, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And then it goes on in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. In 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should know, or so that he should not see death. And without faith, this is one of my favorite ones in verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And I read that verse, and I, I get convicted that God does not care how many Facebook followers we have or how many friends we have or how popular you are. God is not concerned about that. It says it is impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith. And then it says in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out in a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, he went up to live in the land of the promise as in the foreign land. And by faith, Sarah received power to conceive. And those all died in faith, not having received the things promised. And then it says in 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and who had received the promise. And it goes on and on in all of these, in this whole passage, this whole chapter, by faith, all these great men and women of God. And I love this part. I love when it comes to verse 32. It says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's my favorite one. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. It tells of all these great things, all these great heroes that they did, all these great heroes and all the things that they did. And then it says this, it tells of their reward. It tells the reward that they got. It says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release. So they went, some were tortured. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the sword, were made strong out of weakness. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. It tells of their reward. These people, they suffered. They died for this thing that we call faith. They died for this thing of following Jesus. They died for the love of Jesus. They died, and here are we in the church in America. So many times we make following Jesus about so many other things, and I say, who are we to make it about anything else? Who are we to make church about anything less than Jesus? And that's what this gathering is for tonight. We have a prayer that gatherings like this, that we've launched 13 of these, as the video shared, we're launching 13 of these this summer. This is number 4 this summer. And we pray that gatherings like this, gatherings in the name of Jesus, that our culture would be changed. And it doesn't take very long. You turn on the TV for 2 minutes at a time to realize that our culture is broken. Well, we pray that our culture would be changed in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the fix. Jesus is the answer. And these people, all these heroes of the past, they died for this thing called faith. They died for Jesus. And so many times we make it about something so meaningless. And it should be about Jesus. And then it goes on and says this. In verse 12, therefore, since we are surrounded, or in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And now these people, these heroes, now there are witnesses. They're watching us. And I wonder if they're proud of what they see. Man, because these people, they threw it all out on the line. We were in Pakistan in 2010. We did a festival in Pakistan, and Alan was preaching and sharing the gospel, and many people were coming to Christ. They were coming forward, publicly displaying that they were choosing to follow Jesus. And I looked over at our Pakistani friend, Rashid. I look over at Rashid, and Pakistanis are not real emotional people. You know, they have a lot of walls built up. They're kind of, they just don't show a lot of emotion. I look over at Rashid, and he's crying on the side of the stage. And I said, Rashid, what's the matter? And he said, you don't understand. He said, you don't have any idea. He said, by them publicly coming to Jesus, by them publicly saying they'll choose to follow Jesus, they're going to lose everything. He said, if they have a job, they're going to lose it, because we live in an Islamic country. We live in this Muslim country. He said, if they have a job, they're going to lose it. And most of them, by the time they get home, their families will have abandoned them. He said, they're giving up everything to follow this Jesus who you're talking about. And here we are in our safe and comfortable churches in America. And we don't know what it's like to sacrifice like that. And it says to this, it says in verse 2 in chapter 12, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As we're going to share tonight at about 7:45, 8 o'clock, we'll be sharing the gospel. The gospel will be shared all day, but about that time, we'll give people a chance to respond to the gospel and choose to follow Jesus, just like they did in Pakistan in 2010, just like thousands do every single day. They put it all on the line to come to follow Jesus. Tonight at about that time is going to be the opportunity for them to come to Jesus, and we're going to tell them about this gospel that Jesus, he hung on the cross, that he died for us, that he loves us so much that he died for us. And he did it for the joy that was set before him. And I believe he was talking about me. He was talking about you. He says it was all worth it for the joy that was set before him. And I wonder what we make church about. What we make church about. Tonight will be about the gospel. And tonight, the greatest thing about an event like this is we're so fearful of America. We're always so afraid of one another. We're always so fearful of what's different, whether it's politics or religion or race or whatever. We're always so afraid of what's different. But tonight, we're going to see a crowd of people gathered in a field. And it's going to be about one name, just the name of Jesus. It's going to be about Jesus gathering people together in a field, and we get to celebrate that. And my challenge to you, the church, this morning, my challenge to you is that you come, because we need every single person to come. It's not about you, sorry. It's not about the church, but we want you to come so that you can bring two or three, that's what we're challenging you with, so that you can bring two or three of your non-Christian friends, that the non-Christian friends that you bring with will hear the gospel, and that you will be there to bring them into the prayer tent and pray with them to come to Christ. That's what we need you there for. So my challenge to you today, even if you have to leave here and go pick up that person in their home or whatever it takes, even when you leave here today and maybe you don't even know the person. If you don't know any non-Christians, then you have a couple hours to make a few new friends, all right? You have a couple hours. I think it starts at noon or 1 o'clock or something like that. I think 1 o'clock is a children's activity. There's going to be children's activities and all these bands, and motocross guys are going to do flips and BMX guys, and I think there's like 11 bands that we have to squeeze into this short time frame today, but I love it. Because we've been very careful to pick and choose the bands who are talented, but who are more of missionaries than artists. And they know how to play guitar, and they know how to sing really well. And they can share in whose name they're able to do that. Same with the BMX guys and the motocross athletes. So you have a few hours to leave here. I'll give you even an extra 5 minutes. I'll be done a little bit early, okay? I'll give you an extra 5 minutes to leave here, this place today, and go and invite two or three of your non-Christian friends to come back with you to the festival, because there is a lot of people who may not come into a church building because they have preconceived ideas and thoughts about what church is. As we heard a pastor a few weeks ago, I was in a church speaking in another city. We're preparing for a festival, and we did a festival there last year. And this pastor stood on the stage, and he goes, here's why festivals like this have to happen. And he said this. He said, I've been inviting my neighbor. This guy's a pastor. He said, I've been inviting my neighbor for years to come to church, and he never came. He never came to church. And he said, and here I am, the day of the festival. This was last year. The day of the festival, I'm working hard. I'm focused on what I'm doing. He was setting something up. And he goes, and I look over, and there's my neighbor friend. My neighbor friend came to the festival. He wouldn't come to a church before then. But he came to the festival. He heard who Jesus is, and he heard what the church is all about. That's what this festival is for. Your friends that may not come into a church building, but they'll come to a festival. They'll hear about this Jesus. They'll hear, because all the pastors, most of the pastors, except for Paul, he took off out of town. But all the rest of the pastors in your community are speaking on stage today. Because we have two opportunities here. We have two things to focus on here. Jesus and who he is. And the church and what the church is all about. That's what we have an opportunity here today. And so they'll come to the festival. They'll hear who Jesus is. And they'll see that the church is here to stay. The church is here to love on them. Church is here to serve them. And then they'll be a little more open to coming to church this next Sunday. And I pray that next Sunday that there's a many more people here in this church building. That's our biggest prayer. Because when people come into this church building, when people come to church and they start reading the Bible, I was challenged by a friend of mine. He goes, man, we just got to tell people they need to start reading the Bible because no one's reading it anymore. If people start reading the Bible and start coming to church, then culture will be changed. And culture will be changed. Because the church will rise up once again as it did in the 70s when the great revival in the Billy Graham days happened. There was a revival spread all across our nation. A revival took place all across our nation. We're believing for that again. But people got to get into the church. People got to get into reading scripture, and culture will be changed. And we're going to have another song of worship. They're going to come up here and lead us in one more song of worship. There's flyers back there, lots of flyers, and they're meant to look cool and flashy and fancy and to look at that and go, oh, man, all these artists are going to be there, and the BMX guys, the motocross guys, because that draws people into the festival. But every artist knows and every athlete knows that once people get there, it's not about their name. It's about the name of Jesus, and that people might come because we're bringing in We Are Messengers and Holland and Abby Robertson and Rochelle's going to play and Phil Joel. You know, you can judge him because he's got the long hair. He's from New Zealand. That's okay. But he'll be there, and all these artists will be there, and they'll sing their hearts out. As they're working now to set up, they'll sing their hearts out, and they'll lay it all out there that people would know that Jesus changes everything. And so I take these flyers, and please, we're not asking you for your money, although if you have money and you don't want it, we'll take it. But we're not asking you for your money today. When I come back, I probably will. But today, we're not asking you for your money. We're asking you to take a couple flyers and go invite your friends. And it won't be about any of us. It'll be about the name of Jesus. That's all that we want you to do today. So please, if you weren't planning on coming, cancel your plans this afternoon and come to this so we can come together. And I prayed about how to close this message, and I'm not sure that it should. And, I mean, we will leave this building sooner or later. But I think we got to do a whole lot more loving, church. The great Martin Luther King Jr., this is my favorite quote. He said, it's time for us to develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. You know what that means? That means we're going to have to do a whole lot more loving in the global village. It means we're going to have to actually do what Scripture tells us to do. And we're going to have to get uncomfortable. But it's going to be worth it. When we climb that mountain, it's going to be worth it. And we want to close in one more worship song. Then I'll welcome up Pastor Matthew. He's going to dismiss us. And I'll see you guys all tonight. Thank you guys so much.